Well, it's become a tradition, hopefully not a vain tradition, to preach a motto text on the first Sunday. I didn't really get this motto text until Friday evening, so it was too late to print anything by that time. So we'll have the motto text printed for next Lord's Day. But the text I want to bring to your attention is from Psalm 27. Psalm 27. A couple of texts have gone through my mind, but I've already preached on them, so that makes it a little bit difficult. It wouldn't be so bad if it was many years ago, but it was just a week or so ago. And so we are going to consider this on the same theme, but not quite the same text. So Psalm 27, let's read it together. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came about me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my mother, my father, and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted, unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. Amen. Thank the Lord for this reading of his word. Let's unite our hearts in prayer. Eternal God, we come before thee once again. We pray that thou wouldst direct our thoughts and meditations. Pray, Lord, that thou wouldst bring to my mind those things which I've thought upon and spent time in thy presence over. Lord, we pray that thou wouldst help us to understand and to be inspired to seek thy face. And Lord, we pray that thy hand would be upon us this day. Bless now, we ask thee, continue with us and direct our thoughts and meditations, we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Well, you may have gathered even from that short prayer that the verse which I want to bring to your attention is the eighth verse. The eighth verse, the last verse, perhaps has struck your attention as being something of a good one also for a motto. But the eighth verse we read here, when thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And those are the words which came to my mind. I wanted to bring before you perhaps the verse, pray without ceasing. But we've looked at that already, and that can still be in our minds, hopefully. And we can remember what those words were and how they affect us. But this verse also says a similar thing, and it is a good thing to have set before us. And if you take the motto text we will have prepared for next week and set it somewhere where you can see it, hopefully it will remind you of the importance of seeking the Lord's face. It's a strange verse in the Hebrew, and one which is very hard to translate. Every commentator that I've looked at has said the same thing. It is very hard to translate the words here. Literally, the words say, in the Hebrew, I'm not going to say it in Hebrew because I probably say it wrong, but it literally says, to say, the heart, search out, face, namely face, Lord, search out. So that makes it very difficult to translate into English. And all the commentators and all the translators also have found difficulty in translating this into English. There's even a word at the beginning of the verse in the Hebrew, which I can't find anywhere. I haven't a clue what it says, and nobody else seems to know what it says either. But I'll ask Paul afterwards, and he's a Hebrew scholar. He'll be able to tell me, I'm sure. But so here we have these words, and there are words which are used twice in the same verse. So we have a word which says bakash, and it says that twice. And so that word comes up twice. So there are six, there are eight words in the verse. One of them, I haven't a clue what it says. The rest of them, the other seven, we have bakash twice, and we have the word for face twice, which is panim, and eth panim. So it comes up twice. So we have to say, the heart, search out, face, face, Lord, search out. Very difficult to translate. But the translators here have at least given us, and one of the reasons why we like to use the Authorized Version is because they tell you what's not in the verse. And at the beginning of the verse here, we have in italic, when thou saidst. It doesn't say that in the verse. It just begins with, seek ye my face. My heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. And when we do the mottos, those are the words we'll have there. Seek ye my face. And then I'm thinking, perhaps in smaller letters, my heart said unto thee, and then back into large letters, thy face, Lord, will I seek. The reason for doing that is because I'm going to preach on this twice today. And I'm going to preach on the first part this morning and the second part this evening. So I trust that you can come to both parts. If you can't come to both parts, they will be, by the grace of God, on the internet. You can listen to them there. So here we have then these words, when thou saidst, seek ye my face. I want to consider this under three heads, as we usually do, and see first of all the concept, secondly the command, and thirdly the challenge. The concept, what do I mean by the concept? Well, it's really simply asking the question of the Lord, what do you mean, seek my face? Remember that he said that no man shall see my face and live. So how can we seek the face of God? What is behind that language? Seek ye my face. Well, I would suggest to you, first of all, the concept of seeking the face of the Lord is that when we look upon someone's face, we have a perception of intent, a perception of intent. When we look upon someone's face, we can see whether they are smiling or whether they are frowning. We can see whether they're nervous. We can see whether they are sincere as they are speaking. There are many things that we read, even though we may not know it, from the little movements of the face. And so seeking the Lord's face is to be in such a contact with him that we are beginning to understand what God's purpose is in speaking to us. Now, the Bible is remarkable in the fact that the interpretation of it is clear if you're honest in coming to it. But it does also, as James says, we look into that perfect law, it does also reflect us in some way. And so if someone comes without faith to the Word of God, they begin to see within the Word of God things which trouble them and cause them further disbelief. When we come to the Word of God with faith, trusting in Jesus Christ, we begin to see there what the Lord is saying to us, because he speaks. It's not just a dead letter, it's a living word. And God speaks through the Spirit to our hearts as we draw near to him. And the closer we draw near to him, the more of the nuances of the Word of God are shown to us. There are some axioms that we need to remember in the study of the Word of God, of course. One of those being that God is love, that he loves his people, and therefore he has sent Jesus Christ into the world to die for us, and having done so, he is not going to cast us off. And so we need to keep in mind that the things which are written in the Scripture for his people are for our good. They are for our benefit. They are because he loves us. They are because he desires to build us up and to strengthen us and to draw us near to himself. Sometimes they can be the frowns of God because of the lifestyle that we have adopted or the understandings that we have of certain things. But nevertheless, his overall purpose is to make us conformable to the image of his Son so that we might walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. It's very important that we might see the face or seek the face of the Lord. What is it, Lord, that thou would say to me? And that should be our prayer day by day, and particularly as we come together into the house of God on the Lord's Day or in the prayer meeting day or any other such meeting, we should be saying to the Lord, Lord, what wilt thou say to me? What is thy purpose in this? Wilt thou not smile upon us? Wilt thou not make thy face to shine? There's a sentence which comes up often in the scripture. Make thy face to shine. We need this understanding then, a perception of intent. In Matthew 16:3, the Lord says to the people, and in the morning it will be foul, you will say, in the morning it will be foul weather today, for the sky is red and lowering. Oh, ye hypocrites, ye can discern the face of the sky, but ye cannot discern the signs of the times. Ye can discern the face of the sky. So we can read the sky to a certain extent, and we can say, it looks like it's going to rain later on today. You can almost feel it, can't you, sometimes when the rain is about to come. And you're looking at it and thinking, perhaps I won't put the washing out on the line today, or not just yet, because that looks as if it's going about to rain. It feels like rain. And so we're discerning the face of the sky. And we know those old sayings about the red sky at night to the shepherd's delight and so on. We discern the face of the sky. We need to discern the face of God. And so the Lord says to us, seek ye my face for a perception of his intent. But then again, in chapter 32, and both of these psalms have mean a great deal to me. They were a part of the call which the Lord gave me into his service. But in Psalm 32, we read there in the 8th verse, I will instruct thee and teach thee in the way which thou shalt go. I will guide thee with mine eye. I will guide thee with mine eye. Be ye not as the mule, or the horse, or as the mule, which have no understanding, whose mouth must be held in with bit and bridle, lest they come near unto thee. I will guide thee with mine eye, or I will counsel thee with mine eye. It's the look, if you like, of a parent, when you know that there is something wrong. It may be the look of a husband or a wife. Certainly in my case, very often it's my wife, and she sits there frowning at me, and that tells me that she's not understanding the word I'm saying, and I'd better say it again in much, much simpler terms. And all of my children know those expressions, but we do guide our children sometimes with our eye. If our children are misbehaving, we might look at them in a certain stern fashion, not intended for anybody else but them, because they are misbehaving, and you are giving them a warning. You might intimate something by just looking at someone, catching their eye, and then looking at something else until they turn around and look at what you're looking at. I've heard of stories of people standing in the street as a joke, and just standing there and looking up at a building or pointing. And everybody that's going past, they don't want to look immediately sometimes, but they'll go past a few steps and then they'll just look to see what everybody's looking at. And so they're guided by the eye. Now the Lord guides us with his eye. But if we're not looking at his face, if we're not seeking his face, how does he guide us? Well, there are ways, of course, of guiding us. If your child refuses to look at you, then you might force them to look at you. You might use some other method. You might speak with a thunderous voice. There can be another way of reaching them. And sometimes the Lord uses other ways of reaching us. But do we want him to, when he can guide us with his eye in that gentle fashion? Seek ye my face. I will guide thee with mine eye. Look at me. Look at me, and I will direct you. And you can walk in righteousness, in paths of righteousness, beside the still waters. I will guide thee with mine eye. So there is a perception here of intent when we think about these words, seek ye my face. Look at me, the Lord says. Seek me, seek my face. Again, in Psalm 105 and verse 3, glory ye in his holy name. Let the heart of them rejoice that seek the Lord. Seek the Lord and his strength. Seek his face evermore. And what comforts there are in looking at the Lord's face. Realizing that God is not bothered. We can often get a strength from looking at someone who is not as concerned as we are. And we can gain strength, certainly from a child looking at their parents, if there is something that's making them nervous, and they can see that their parent is smiling, perhaps, or just unconcerned, and they take strength from that, and they trust in the parent. And if we're looking at the Lord's face in troubles, in difficulties, if we have our eye upon him, then the comfort which we draw from that, being in his presence, is wonderful. Of course, the psalmist says something similar to this, doesn't he, in this very psalm. It says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Again, then in verse 3, though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war, although the interpretation there probably is better as battle, though battle should rise against me, in this will I be confident. The Lord's face is his strength, and he seeks the Lord's face. He draws strength from the face of the Lord. So here is a perception of intent. But beyond there, there is a privilege of intimacy also. A privilege of intimacy when we look upon his face. Remember how that the Lord says that he speaks through prophets. But when he spoke to Moses, he spoke to him face to face. Or actually, literally, in the Hebrew, mouth to mouth. I speak to him, he speaks to me. There's no one in between. We are directly one to another. Remember what the Lord Jesus Christ says to his disciples, and therefore also to us. He says, henceforth have I called you friends. And so here in this privilege of intimacy, we have a friendship with God. To walk with the Lord, to have a friend in the Lord. To come into his presence as a friend. A wonderful privilege which was, it seems in the Old Testament, restricted to Abraham, who is spoken of as the friend of God. Abraham, the friend of God. But now Jesus Christ says to all of his disciples, to all of those who are walking with him and trusting in him, ye are my friends. Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you. And what is the command? Well, the command here, of course, is seek ye my face. Draw near to Christ. Draw near to the Lord. In Psalm 91:1, a well-known verse probably to us all, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. In Psalm 17:8, keep me as the apple of the eye, hide me under the shadow of thy wings. Is that intimacy, that walking with Christ, that closeness? Isn't that something to be desired? Isn't that something to be longed after? Again, in verse 4 here, Psalm 27, verse 4, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. But let me ask the question here this morning. You ask yourself the question. Because who am I to ask you the question? But you ask yourself the question. Do you dwell in the presence of the Lord? Ask yourself the question, do I dwell in the presence of the Lord? Do I seek the Lord's face? Is it my desire to know the fullness of the blessing of Christ, his hand upon me, his presence, my presence in his presence? Can we say with the psalmist, one thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life? What is it that draws us away from the house of the Lord? Are we so taken up with the things of the world that we have little time or thought for him? How do we draw near? Well, I hope to address those questions this evening. But they're here in this concept, the perception of intent, the privilege of intimacy, a friend of God, a friend of Jesus Christ, and to know that the Lord is our friend, that he looks upon us. How do we know he looks upon us? Because we are seeking his face, and we see his eye, and he is guiding us with it. We come secondly then to the command, because these words, seek ye my face, are written in the imperative. An imperative is a command. It is a statement which is to be or ought to be done. So here we have the command, the imperative, seek my face. Well, that's a difficulty to us, because that seems all of a sudden not to be quite so friendly, but it is now a command which has come to us. And we are rebellious. We are a stiff-necked and rebellious people. Not just as Christians, but just as humans. We are rebellious. We like to do things our own way. We like to draw near to God when we feel like it, not because God has told us to. There are many people, even as Christians, who hate the thought that we might be under the law in some way. And so they take that verse, "Ye are not under law, but under grace," to mean that there is no law for us. We are free to do as we like. And of course, the Spirit of God works in us, and so therefore what we like is to seek the Lord's face. But is that true? Is that true? Is that what we like? Or do we often succumb to the will of the flesh and seek the world's face? And yet the Scripture tells us that if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. So where do we really stand in this? Here is a command. Not a commandment like "thou shalt not commit adultery" or "thou shalt not kill," but a command nevertheless: seek my face. Oh, that we might recognize the importance of seeking the face of the Lord. In Deuteronomy 7:9, we read, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations, them that love him and keep his commandments." He keepeth covenant and mercy with them. Now that's taken up again in the Scripture in Nehemiah. This is after the captivity. The people have been taken away. They've been in Babylon. They've been brought back by the grace of God, and in answer and in fulfillment of the prophecies concerning the return of the people of God. And so in Nehemiah, we read these words in chapter 1, verse 5, and said, "I beseech thee, O Lord God of heaven, the great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments." So in Deuteronomy, the second, as it is termed, the second giving of the law, we read, "The faithful God which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments." Nehemiah says, "The great and terrible God that keepeth covenant and mercy for them that love him and observe his commandments." Then we go to Daniel, and now Daniel is in between these two, because it is Daniel's prayer, and particularly here in chapter 9, it is Daniel's prayer which is used of the Lord to bring that return to Israel. And Daniel says, "I prayed unto the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments." So he is using that same verse from Deuteronomy. Nehemiah uses that same verse from Deuteronomy. And then the Lord Jesus Christ says to us, "If ye love me, keep my commandments." And John, in 1 John 5:3, says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous." Here is an imperative then. The Lord says to us, if you are mine, if you love me, and we profess to love him, and we love him because he first loved us, seek my face. Seek my face. And let us seek to remember every time we look at those words on the motto text, And we'll have some magnets done so they can be on your fridge. Every time you look at that, remember the Lord says to you, child of God, he says to you, seek my face. Seek my face. It's not a suggestion. He is saying to you, seek my face. It's an imperative. But then also we can say, not only is it an imperative, but it's an invitation. It's an invitation. Seek my face. And here we have this wonderful invitation to us, because although we take this first of all as a command, seek my face, yet consider who it is that's saying to us. It's the God of the whole earth. It's the God of all creation. It is the God in whom we move, we live and move and have our being. It is the Lord who is greater than all things. And here we are, tiny, puny creatures upon a rocky orb floating through space with thousands, millions of others around us, and oh, these tiny creatures. And yet God says to us, seek my face. Seek my face. It will be my mind and your mind and your mind and my mind. And we can have communion together. You ever thought about that? The creator of all things saying to us, to you as an individual, you can commune with me. I've created you to commune with me. The mind is microscopic in comparison with mine. But nevertheless, I'm interested in you. And I've created you to commune with me. Seek my face. Draw near to me. Isaiah 55, verse 6. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Even if we have wickedly departed from the Lord says, forsake that way, return to me. Even if we consider ourselves to be unrighteous and we look at our own lives as professing Christ and they are not what they ought to be, the Lord says, forsake those thoughts and return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Or that we might seek him. The Lord says, come. Come, draw near to me. Draw near to me. Whatever your condition, whatever your state, if you're unsaved here this morning, you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Lord says, forsake that way and seek my face. Return unto me. I will have mercy upon you. Well, the Lord has done all things in order that we might draw near to him. He has given us not just an invitation, but the ability to draw near to him. And then we have here also the implication. The implication, of course, is that the Lord desires that contact, because he is saying to us, seek ye my face. And that should encourage us, of course, to seek the face of the Lord. In 1 Chronicles 28 and verse 9, another verse actually which means a lot to me. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searcheth all hearts and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. You see, the implication is that the Lord is waiting for you to seek him. And he says, if you seek me,
then I will be there.
The Lord says in Jeremiah 29, verse 13, "And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart." And of course, the psalmist here is saying, "When thou said, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. My heart said unto thee." Or that we might seek the Lord with our heart, that it might be our purpose to come and draw nigh to him. And if we feel that our heart is not fully in it, and we are being mechanical in the seeking of the Lord, then say to the Lord, "Lord, I'm seeking thee. Touch my heart. Touch my heart. Give me a heart after the Lord. Give me a heart." The wise man in Proverbs says, "My son, give me thine heart." And the Lord says to us, "My son, my daughter, give me thine heart. Draw near to him." We read that verse in Isaiah 55 and verse 6. And the second part of it, once again, "Let the wicked forsake his way, the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him." That's the implication. "To our God, for he will abundantly pardon." Draw nigh to him. That's our need in this day. And then finally, in our thoughts, "Seek ye my face," the challenge. The challenge. And the challenge, first of all, is a hidden face. In verse 9, the psalmist says, "Hide not thy face far from me." The word "far," again, you'll see is in italic. It's not in the Hebrew. It was perhaps a little too far. The translators took it there. But "hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." Of course, a promise of the Lord in the New Testament to us is, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." But David had seen someone already forsaken. He had seen Saul, who had an evil spirit from before the Lord, who came and tried and tested him. And David himself had sat and played to calm his spirit. And he says to the Lord, "Hide not thy face from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation." So the first challenge is the hidden face. And it's a fear that we have. A fear. There is a statement which sometimes comes to some people's minds anyway, from Leviticus 26 and verse 19. "And I will break the pride of your power, and I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass." And we feel sometimes that the heaven is like iron and there's no way through to speak to the Lord. But that is a fear. And we know about fears. The fears are so often more than the reality. It is the fear that keeps us from sleeping at night. When the fact arises, we deal with it. So we have to be very careful about the fear that we might have. "The Lord doesn't want to speak to me." Yes, he does. For he says, "Seek ye my face." "I will never find the Lord." Yes, you will. "For if you seek me, I will be found of you." Let's remember the grace of God, which is shown to us. And that it is grace. It's not because we deserve it. It is because it is grace. Because God is gracious and long-suffering and merciful. And we often do him a disservice because we fear that he will not accept us. And we don't consider him to be gracious and merciful and kind. The fact then, rather than the fear of the hidden face, the fact is that the Lord sometimes will turn away his face for a moment because he desires to make us seek it. To seek it. Why does he say, "Seek my face"? Because we're not. Because not, we're not aware of his face. And sometimes it can be that we become too familiar in the fact of just taking it for granted. In Psalm 89 and verse 29, let's turn that psalm. We haven't turned any scriptures up today, so we can't go through a whole sermon without turning up a scripture. Psalm 89 and verse 29. In fact, we'll go from verse 26. We could read the whole psalm, but I can't keep going backwards. So Psalm verse 26, he shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. This is speaking of Jesus Christ. But remember that we are saved in Christ Jesus. That is where our salvation is. I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. My mercy will I keep for him forevermore, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed also will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. If his children forsake my law and walk not in my judgments, if they break my statutes and keep not my commandments, then will I visit their transgression with the rod and their iniquity with stripes. Nevertheless, my loving kindness will I not utterly take from him, nor suffer my faithfulness to fail. My covenant will I not break, nor alter the thing that is gone out of my lips. Once have I sworn by my holiness that I will not lie unto David. His seed shall endure forever, and his throne as the sun before me. It shall be established forever as the moon, and as a faithful witness in heaven. So the Lord speaks here to Jesus Christ, and he says, though your seed, which is all those who are in Christ, though your seed do sin, though they do not walk in my judgments, they break my statutes, I will visit their transgressions with a rod and their iniquity with stripes. But I will not take away my covenant from you, that is from Jesus Christ, and your seed that are in you shall endure forever. Because our reception with God is in Jesus Christ. It's not because we are sinners, but because Christ is righteous that we are accepted in the presence of God. But that doesn't mean that God will not visit us with stripes and will not be displeased with us. And he will deal with us, but he will deal with us as with sons. And in Hebrews, we read that he scourgeth every son. And so he does deal with us, sometimes harshly. But in Jesus Christ, we always are bidden to seek his face. And when we turn away from our sin, and when we return to seeking the Lord's face, he forgives us, and we continue our walk with him, and may even go on to a greater and more blessed walk than ever we've known before. That's the fact. The hidden face. But then also, using the word again, unfortunately, didn't notice that, the hard facts. The hard facts are that we are inadequate. The hard facts are that we are sinners. And though we are justified by the grace of God through Jesus Christ and his shed blood, we are sinners. The Apostle Paul himself in Romans 7 verse 19 says, for the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Oh yes, we sin. Oh yes, we fail. But who will deliver us? Jesus Christ. And in whom are we if we have called upon his name? Jesus Christ. So then, he says, with my mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. That's the hard fact. The challenge is that we are sinners, and so we find it hard to seek the Lord's face. We find it hard to pray. We find it hard to put away the world. We find the attractions of the world really, really do attract the flesh. And of course they do. They're designed to do just that. Adverts are out there designed to make you look at them and to lust after the things which they're advertising. And the devil is a master. So the hard fact is that it's a challenge. Even though the Lord has said to us, seek ye my face, it is a challenge. And we will find it difficult to do. But we can do it. And the Lord will be found of us if we seek him and we call upon him. Finally then, the hastened failure. The hastened failure. Again, Psalm 27, verse 9, hide not thy face far from me. Put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When I say the hastened failure, the failure is that we perceive that God doesn't want us to draw near. We think that it's too difficult to draw near. We think that we can't do this, and so we don't make the effort. It reminds me of a verse that we looked at in 1 Samuel some time ago. 1 Samuel 6 and verse 20. And the men of Beth Shemesh said, who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And to whom shall he go up from us? Who is able to stand before this holy Lord God? And the hastened failure so often is that we don't persist, that we give up. You might go home from this sermon this morning, and by the grace of God, the Lord may have touched your heart, and you may have determined in your soul that you're going to seek the Lord. You're going to seek the Lord today. You're going to seek the Lord this year. And you find it difficult because the hard fact is we are inadequate and we are sinners. And so, after a short time, we feel that we have not found the face of God, and therefore the face of God is not there for us. And God doesn't really want us to seek his face. We might even be brought by the temptation to come to a point where we say, oh, am I saved at all? And we give up. And the failure is not that God could not be found of us. The failure is that we thought that God could not be found of us. So let's persist. Let's press on. Let's seek the Lord's face this year. And if we're finding it difficult, know that that is just a fact of life. And press on. Call upon him. Draw near to him. 'Tis the command of the Lord. 'Tis the invitation of the Lord. Seek ye my face. And he will be found of us. May the Lord bless his word to us this morning.